Yeah, hi. I ordered, 3 medium roast beef and cheddars, and all I got was this fucking Not Another Magic podcast. What is this bullshit? I ordered dead cow flesh, and here I have his fucking magic nerds bitching about bannings and, oh shit, that is a roast beef and cheddar. Sir. Never mind.
Sir, this is Arby's, not a confessional.
Yeah. No, it's both. This is a confessional of nihilism and death and probably
and
magic.
Delicious fish? Roast beef specials that you can only get on Not Another Magic Podcast, folks.
Curly fries.
If you can't tell.
We put an Arby's in the confessional.
I think you need to be sponsored.
I mean, what
by Arby's
better way to like eat your self-loathing away than by just like drowning in roast beef and
you
like.
You know what? This has inspired me. This intro has inspired me. I'm gonna start a magic Friday night group at fucking Arby's. We're gonna gather at Arby's.
Oh no no no!
Do you think they'll allow it?
Yeah. Like, okay, so, okay, well, now that we're into the show, I'm Jack, there's Jeff. Joining us tonight, I do want to introduce our guest before we go any further, because he's an awesome person, he's one of my longstanding friends in the community, and definitely somebody I've been meaning to have on some sort of audio recording for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Zariel from Twitter, Bill himself.
Hello, it's me.
There you go. Okay.
That's all I've got.
So, alright, so if we're gonna talk about, like, pathetic gaming groups, I actually have to mention this one. When our store was previously owned by somebody, and I swear we have real topics, please don't turn off the podcast. When our store was previously owned.
What?
Yo, what?
We have real topics? What is that shit?
We do have topics, I swear we're gonna get to them, please, nobody turn off the cast. But, when our store was previously owned by somebody, they used to, and I swear I'm not making this shit up, they used to try and get everybody to go to this miniatures convention that they went to where it had, like, Warhammer and, you know, all that kinds of shit. And, like, one summer when I was completely alone and single and dealing with depression, I was like, why the fuck should I not go, right? So I was like, sure, sign me up. I'll catch a car with you guys. We'll fucking go. It'll be great. And so, like, I didn't get any other details about this convention other than that. Alright, keep that in mind. I was going in dry, completely fucking blind, dick in my hand, stumbling around in the dark. And so, we get in this car. Yeah, typical weekend. Yeah, you know, outside of crying myself to sleep.
Yeah, I figure that's your natural state, Jack.
Yeah.
Just
wandering around blindly in the dark with your dick in your hand.
I guess it doesn't help that I was posting hentai shortly before the show recorded, but anyways. Okay, so fucking, I get in the car, and like, you know, what am I trying to say? Like, I really don't want to sound like a bitter asshole saying this, but I'm gonna say it anyways. So, you guys know how there's like, gamers, but then there's like, a whole nother level of nerdity that even like, gamers don't get into, you know what I mean? Like,
you mean like the Star Wars Extended Universe guys? Or is that like a level even up from this you're talking?
I'm talking like the,
I know there's like, an extra level of masochism required to deal with Games Workshop games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you really have to hate yourself to put up with their shit.
Yeah, and I'm trying really hard not to like do like nerd shaming or anything here. But this was one of those moments that I realized I probably needed to make new friends. So I hop in this car, and it was with a group of, like, my older gaming buddies, you know, folks in their, like, 40s and 50s and stuff. And we're chatting up, we're having a good time, we start driving, and I realize we're not really going that far. We drive, like, 45 minutes to Hickory, and we pull up to a restaurant, like the Golden Corral or something, I don't know. It was a buffet restaurant. And so I'm like, oh, cool, we're gonna get some lunch, I'm gonna get a full belly, I'll be able to game all day, this shit's gonna be awesome. No! So, what in fact was actually going on was we get out of the car and immediately the other folks start like grabbing their like big ass cases of miniatures and shit because I don't know if you guys have ever seen like, Warhammer,
yeah,
like
foam
but the
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the big ass like foam cases. They start like strapping this stuff on their back.
Yeah, they're like gun cases. Miniatures. That's like the most useful thing for carrying miniatures are actual gun cases.
Yeah. Oh, no joke. They actually are. But anyway, so, they, like, start strapping this stuff on their back, and I'm like, guys, if somebody breaks into the car, nobody's going to steal your fucking miniatures. They're going to, like, steal the radio or the iPod or something. And they're like, no, we're here. And I look at them and I'm like, what do you mean we're here? They're like, this is the convention. And I'm like, excuse me, this is a Golden Corral. And they're like, yeah, what we do is we rent out an entire room at the Golden Corral and we just play miniatures all day long and eat all day long. Wow. And I kind of like stared. Yeah. And I like stared at them in disbelief. And I was like, you're serious. This is a thing you guys do literally every single year. And they're like, yeah, what's the problem? But like at that point, like I was in too deep. So I couldn't just be like, oh, yeah, you know, this is kind of fucking neat.
Yeah, dude, you might as well bust there at that point, because you're stuck.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I sat down, I played a couple of games, but no shit. It was just, like, chicken grease and miniatures all day long. After that, I decided to reevaluate my life. But anyways, folks.
I like how you said if someone broke into the car, they're not going to take the miniatures. Like, some inner-city kid's not going to be like, ooh, a 7,200-point necro army. You know that's going to happen.
I mean, that is a good point. That is a good point, no. Because when I was in Atlanta a couple of years ago, what happened was folks were, like, busting into cars and taking Magic cards and then going around to the GP and selling them to vendors. So, I don't know. Like, I think of, like, breaking into a car, like, I'm not going to take, like, a fully painted army, because I can't turn that around at a pawn shop. You know, I want to take, like, the stereo or the fucking GPS or something I can just get rid of and be done. But I've never stolen anything, so I don't know how thieves think. Maybe we have some very enterprising thieves out there. I don't know.
Baltimore, they love stealing their Magic cards. It happens every time I come to Baltimore for a Magic event. Not for me, but yeah, someone's just gotten their shit stolen.
Oh, it happens in North Carolina and Charlotte, too. And even, like, when we went to Charlotte, Jeff, like, the first thing I told Tiffany when we were going down to the Grand Prix floor is I was, like, keep an eye on your purse. And she's like, nobody's going to steal here, because we're a bunch of country bumpkins where we leave our doors unlocked and shit. And I was like, no, really, like, people will straight up snatch your bag from under your desk, from under your feet.
Cash is like my sweet summer child.
And yeah, and so, like, I had to, like, explain to her that there was this international ring of people who just fucking go to Grand Prix and steal shit. Don't attend the event. Don't play Magic. Just go to steal shit.
It's going
to
be a Will Smith movie next year.
That would be fantastic. Like, what if it was like Will Smith and he was like Agent Fresh Prince and he that was like the premise of the movie was there was some kind of like national secret encoded into the ink of these fucking completely worthless trading cards. And the whole thing was Will Smith becoming like a pawkin monster magician to like stop this shit from happening.
I think you've just written the script.
I think that's more 90s than I can fucking handle in one sentence.
Nicolas Cage.
I would want... Did you see him in the Left Behind movie? Holy fuck.
No, I didn't.
He has this, like, natural resting, like, Alzheimer's face, I guess is the best way to put that, where he doesn't know where he's at, and he has no idea why he's there, so he's just having to, like, fucking make it work no matter what movie he's in. And that was the entire film. But anyways, gentlemen, what, now that we've told that tremendously wonderful story and lost all our listeners, what have you guys been doing this week? Bill, let's start with you since you're the guest.
Dude, I've been playing Diablo because the new season of Diablo drops. That's what I've been doing all week, just pressing my right mouse button a whole lot, basically. That and typical lifting
working. But you're having fun while you do it, though.
Yeah, they've managed to really revitalize this game recently, and it's a lot of fun. So, that's pretty much what I've been doing all week. I haven't been Hearthstone, and I haven't been playing Fallout. Wow, I've been slacking on my gaming. So.
Yeah, this week's been pretty intense for me. I'm still remodeling our house that we're hopefully going to move into in the next month. Been learning a lot about sheetrocking and painting. Like, I actually had to sit down and pick out which paint colors would look good in Riley's room, and that was surreal as shit for me, because I've never, like, I couldn't tell you what color my walls are now unless I looked at them. I've been trying to break even on Hearthstone, and I've been playing Mill Rogue. That's been...
Brother Brad Mill?
Yeah, like, it's interesting, because, like, I don't have the preparations for Mill Rogue like I should. I know that's fucking stupid.
You've gotta have the prep.
But, yeah, and it's, like, I have a whole series of decks that I play in casual just because, like, they're really, really good, but I haven't figured out how to make them work on the ladder yet. Dragon Warrior being one of them, because, like, the closest analog I can think of for it is, in Magic, it's, like, blue-white control. because you sit back, you kill all their shit, or you trade up, and eventually you just land your threat, like Ysera or Grommash Hellscream or something like that, and then they just can't fucking do anything. Because going through two Brawls, Twilight Guardians, Blackwing Corruptors and shit like that, that's really hard for a lot of decks to do before you even get to, like, Shield Slam and stuff like that. And so I've been playing a lot of that, and, today I had the Rogue quest that I had to do, of course. And I was like, do I want to play Mech Rogue? No, even though Mech Rogue's actually pretty decent. So I hobbled Mill Rogue together, and it's a very, like, for people who haven't played it, I think Mill Rogue's a very skill, intensive deck, because you do have to make a lot of weird decisions with the deck that you normally wouldn't, because your win con is literally trying to just fill their hand until most of their options start exploding in front of their face.
Right. But and against it's, a lot of decks, you dead their removal and make it sit in their hand, and then, you know, your sap becomes a kill, essentially.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of weird shit you have to do with that deck that you never have to do, so I highly recommend, if anybody hasn't tried it yet, just give the deck a look at the very least. It's definitely a completely different way to play Hearthstone, and besides, everybody's gotta be fucking sick of Reno Lock at this point. Hopefully. I'm praying that everybody's sick of Reno Lock. I'm fucking tired of playing against it. Can we fucking rant about Jeff, tell us your weekend first, and then me and Bill have to rant about Reno Lock.
There was snow, so I didn't go to a pre-release. I stayed home, I edited the podcast, did a little bit of article writing, and edited and played Fallout 4.
Yeah, dude, I saw you were like on Hoth. You were like stuck. Yep. Couldn't move. It was awesome.
It wasn't that bad, but it was beyond being worth driving anywhere, so.
Yeah. It looked awesome. I like that kind of weather. Yeah. I'm a weirdo.
Had cheese on tater tots and shit. Like,
fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you guys get into your Hearthstone shit, how's your doing on your resolutions, Jack?
Oh, how am I doing? I'm almost completely off nicotine, which is really fucking cool, I gotta say.
Awesome.
Every now and then, like, especially when I'm talking to customers, I guess is the best way to put that, I still, and it, a lot of it's just like the mental thing of, like, taking a drag, I guess is what I'm trying to say. As far as weightlifting, like I said, I'm hurting less, but I'm doing more reps, so I guess that's improvement? I don't know.
It's great improvement.
Yeah, I'm also taking up, yoga again, which is helping a lot with my back pain, actually, like, cause that's really the biggest reason I even started doing it, was, my back hurts and my knees hurt because I've gained, like, 70 pounds since I got married, which is fucking ridiculous. But yeah, I'm working on it. I mean, it's, I can't just, you know, hit the gym and be fucking Iron Man like Bill can. But, I'm getting there, man. It's slow, steady baby steps until I can get where most normal human beings are, I guess.
That's how it starts, though. It starts out really slow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kicking ass at eating more cheese, so.
That's good. Cheese is, it's a good part of any resolution, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. Salsa con queso. Poutine.
It has vitamin D, so your bones are not going to break apart and become brittle shit.
Yeah, getting all that
calcium, right?
Healthy fats.
Yeah, like your parents would be proud of you. So it's good stuff. You're strengthening those bones. But okay, so we'll rant a little bit about Hearthstone. We'll rant a little bit about bannings, and we'll just see where the fuck we go from there, folks. So first of all, Bill, for those people at home that don't have a concise definition for what Reno Lock is, do you care to involve them a bit?
So, like, essentially, Reno Lock.
Reno, yeah.
It's almost like a control or a hand lock deck, right? So it's got these big threats, these one-ofs, the attrition cards, and obviously Warlock just draws nonstop. But it's a deck of one-ofs. So they have this card called Reno, if you're not familiar with Hearthstone, Reno Jackson. If you have only one of certain cards left in your deck, which you're going to in a singleton deck, if you play him, you go back to full life. Full life. So if you're at 20, you heal for 9. If you're at 1, you heal for 29. So basically, against any sort of aggressive deck, that card becomes 1 in 30 chance, because that's your deck size, to win the game. Because if you draw that card versus an aggressive deck after they've already pumped 20 damage into you, you probably win the game. Almost guaranteed. So,
and with something like Warlock, you're constantly drawing cards every single turn anyway, so the chances of you drawing Reno are actually fantastic. Yep. Alright, so the problem for me with like any kind of Reno deck, and it's not necessarily the decks itself, because actually I've played Reno decks. They're a lot of fun. Like it brings out a lot of interesting things that you don't normally encounter. You get to play with some cards you might not always look at.
Right,
and there is kind of this
pit.
Yeah, and what you run into typically with stuff like that is even if you build a shitty Reno deck, I feel like you're going to have longer games because you're just going to constantly be able to answer your opponent, which is really fucking cool. But I don't know if it's Reno itself needs a nerf or what's going on, but there's something very aggravating about the fact that even against a shitty player, even against a very shitty build of Reno lock, the moment they land Reno, you're back at square one.
Nail on the head, though. Yeah. It's the draw that warlocks have. If you play against a Reno mage, Reno warrior, priest, they might just never see it because they just don't draw a ton of cards. Whereas against a warlock, like you said, they're almost always going to draw it. Do the math. Like, they're almost going to draw it every time you reach turn 10. So.
And there's enough redundant effects both in neutral cards and in warlock itself to either ensure you're going to draw it or that you're going to have the health where it's not going to matter how far you get behind.
Right.
And so I don't necessarily see Reno becoming a serious problem on the ladder, because pretty much past rank 15, you know, there's tons of random shit you're going to run into before rank 15. Everything from fucking dragon control, like I was saying, to, you know, schooled, tested decks like Secret Pally or shit like that. But past that, it seems like there's been a lot of mage this season, so I wouldn't worry too much about Reno lock, but especially like in the casual room or on the ladder or wherever, do you think Reno needs fix? Because I've heard a lot of different opinions about this, and I'm not sure where I fall on it just yet.
I think it needs fixed in the sense of it can't... So when Reno heals you for 15, like if you just drop it to stave off the aggro deck to kind of get a body on the board, my biggest problem with Reno is he's a 4-6 body for 6 mana that heals you for 20+. Okay, it's like Mysterious Challenger. It's not that what it does is too powerful. It's that all of it put together is too powerful. If Reno costs 10 mana, great, perfect. If Reno dropped a 1-6 body or a 4-2 body, again, perfect, because he's now not a threat, essentially. You know, he's just kind of there. It's just too much altogether, because you get a body, you still have 4 mana to make a play if it's turn 10, and you get healed for a ridiculous amount of health. Like, I just think it's too much. It's kind of like Mysterious Talonger. It's too much.
And especially when you compare it to other cards kind of the similar power level, like, the 10-cost warrior card, I can't remember its name right now, which in all honesty is very, very powerful for 10 mana and has
Varian
a great
Ren?
Body. Yeah, that guy. When you compare it to other cards that, like, similar power levels, they're all costed significantly more than it. Like, you know, you have Mal'Ganis, Dr. Boom, all kinds of other shit that's just arguably, you know, within the same range of effectiveness, but why is Reno costed with the body that it has? Because even, like, if you look at something like Dr. Boom, which tons of people complain about and bitch about, for 7 mana, you could potentially do 15 damage, maybe, but a lot of the time, Dr. Boom gets the axe early on, either through Execution or Polymorph or what
the
have
game
you.
Hunter.
And, yeah, or you know, the various priest effects and stuff like that, sap
right.
even, which I don't know why anybody would sap it. So you're left with these doom bots that are so RNG-licious, they may or may not do the things you want them to.
Right.
But when you look at something like Reno, I don't know if it's the frustration factor that comes in, or the fact that it is so aggressively costed that you essentially, it doesn't really matter how you play. Like, you actually have so much room and so much margin of error to make with Reno that it just opens up all kinds of different things that you can get into. And I mean, yeah, like, I encourage people to play tight and stuff like that, but with Reno, you really can play sloppy sometimes and it's okay. And I think that isn't conducive to building a better Hearthstone community, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
Correct. It's kind of like Secret Paladin. You can play loose. And you're just not rewarded, you're not punished for your misplays.
Oh, Secret Paladin is so stupid. Like, that's actually been what I've been playing the most of the season when I'm on the ladder. And so I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, do you think we're kind of approaching this area of card design where Blizzard is making these mistakes early on and not nerfing them right away to see what's going to happen? Because, like, the Hearthstone community is just as bad as the Magic community when it comes to bitching about certain things.
Yeah.
They just go about it in a different fashion because, like, you can just nerf the cards, you know? Do you think maybe Blizzard needs to take a look at cards like this more so in a realistic testing environment before they release them?
I think where stuff like this comes in, and this is what we're approaching with Hearthstone, this is what a lot of the players don't realize, it didn't come from Magic. We need to start learning if we're going to have formats like standard, modern type stuff, because the problem with cards like Reno, as you get more cards, let's say, where you're allowed to have a toolkit that is just as good as a focus deck, and then you're just going to have Reno as an auto-include every time. So every Warlock deck, whether it's then at that point Zoo, Handlock, Reno, they're just going to have Reno in there because we've got this toolkit of cards that all do similar things, and there's no punishment for having that sort of toolkit. You know, and so until a format becomes more limited, that's where the problem is, I think.
Actually, I've got to agree with you on that, and I don't know how they would necessarily implement, like, more formats, quote-unquote, in Hearthstone. But I definitely have to agree with you on that, because we're kind of approaching this gulf where you have people who are fairly new to Hearthstone, like myself, that might buy into the format, they might play for free or whatever. The moment they step on the ladder, they're going to be going against shit like this, and it's going to be extremely frustrating for them. And while I'm not in favor of necessarily creating some kind of, like, barrier of entry for the game, because I encourage everybody to play it, you know, buy the expansions, it's a great game, it's honestly a lot of fun. I could see where that would be a bad marketing move, I guess is the best way to say that, for people just joining into the game. Because, like, if you go against, like, Reno Lock, or Secret Paladin, or, you know, Freeze Mage, or anything that's especially frustrating like that, and you're a new player, it's kind of devastating, honestly. So maybe, you know, even a better matchmaker system, I guess. I'm not sure how people would go about that. But yeah, I've got to agree with you on that, because we're just steadily creating this environment where you have people who are new, people who are experienced, and people who have been playing the game since beta, and they're all butting heads simultaneously, and I don't necessarily think that's a good thing.
And also, as far as Reno goes, my opinion on whether they need to change him, stuff like that, I almost say no. As much as he frustrates me, as much as I think it's lazy card design, to be honest, Reno is. Whereas a card like Elise Starseeker, as much as she's RNG, I think that's fantastic card design. Finley Myrtleton, fantastic card design. I actually think Explorers League was a really good set, and because of that, you can kind of forgive Reno. Whereas the Grand Tournament, not a good set. Not a fun set, not a balanced set. So that's where Mysterious Challenger has the extra frustration for me, as opposed to Reno.
I can see that. And I've got to agree with you, too, on League of Explorers. Like, everything about that adventure just felt fun. Even, you know, the different areas. Yeah, where you're having to, like, escape the temple and stuff like that. It was a lot more... Yeah, like, in my opinion, it was a lot more flavorful than the previous expansions. And I was totally cool with that. And almost all of the legendary cards you've gotten to interact with, they all have a use somewhere. Like, if it wasn't for Elise Starseeker, there would be moments I had no outs in Milroque, like, period. You know, until I drew the map of the Golden Monkey or Golden Monkey or whatever. Archthief Rafam is a great control finisher, I think. I don't think it's getting nearly enough respect. And Brand is just bonkers. Like, I completely underestimated that card until I started playing with it in Dragon Priest. And there, you get to do so much broken shit. It's fun. Yeah. But, overall, I've got to agree with you. I guess we'll sit back and just see how things go. Now, for those that don't know at home, how does Blizzard typically handle, like, nerfings or alterations or anything like that?
In Warcraft, it's never been bad, and, like, Diablo, StarCraft 2, I guess people have had a problem. I don't keep as much up on the community. Apparently they've been pretty lax about keeping that game in balance. I've not been a fan of how they've done it in Hearthstone. They let stuff be a problem for too long, and then they change it in a point that's really awkward. Like Warsong Commander.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Warsong Commander, the nerf, is one of the biggest black eyes in the history of the game, I think. Like, it was bad in every way. It was heavy-handed, it was poor, the final design was poor, and Grim Patron survived. You were right about that, Jack, sorry, I was wrong.
I love you too. But and actually I lost to a Grim Patron deck just today. That was fucking weird, man, because I was sitting there playing, I was like, well, why is he playing all this? Like, okay, Death Spite, cool, I understand that. Acolyte of Pain, cool. The fuck, Grim Patron? And I just, like, mentally flipped the fucking table, because I knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
But anyways, yeah, Grim Patron is definitely still around, and they took a card that was at least playable. At least you could do something with it, and you could do interesting shit with it outside of Grim Patron. And I have not seen a single Warsong Commander since.
Well, like, you can't.
At all whatsoever.
And Ben Brode, he said it had to be nerfed like that because of future design space. I get that. Good point. You can, because, you know, the way it was, you can never make another two-power minion and warrior that does overpowered shit because of Warsong Commander. But the way they nerfed it, do you do much arena, Jack?
Every now and then, because I'm really bad at it, to be completely honest with you.
So the way arena works is class cards have a much greater chance of coming up at a given cost than every other card. So what was happening for a while was Warsong Commander was coming up so much, and it was a 2-3 for 3 that gave your charge minions one attack. So for roughly like 2 months, they essentially made Warrior unplayable in Arena, and it was already the worst class, which was just, it was a bummer. It was a huge bummer. I don't think I played Arena much in that time, because it was just paladins everywhere, just like fucking ladder.
Yeah. And honestly, that was kind of the point I actually started looking away from Arena, because I had a, the performance I started having with Priest in Arena is what prompted me to look into the class deeper. But yeah, like, there just seemed to be an absolute drought of anybody playing Warrior, and if they were, they were very equipment heavy, very yep. slam heavy, you know, stuff like that to just keep their base alive while they tried to land a threat. But I think we've talked enough about Hearthstone because Jeff's probably fucking asleep right now. So we're going to move on to other outrageous shit. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wake
okay.
up.
Okay.
Throw some cheese in front of him.
About magic.
Cheese.
We're going to talk about magic now, okay? You there?
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Good? All right, cool.
Yeah, so. Good to go. You're talking about bannings that happened like too late and the problem cards that were left to fester
early?
For
yeah.
too long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's like how I sum up modern.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to touch on something. Boys and girls, let's talk about the definition of irony. So last week, as of this recording, Wizards of the Coast literally spent all fucking week slamming down on proxies, slamming down on getting information being leaked early. And we had all the bullshit with the judges in December. Well, they got their banned and restricted list leaked like 3 days early. That's the definition wow. of irony. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, so, it took effect on the Magic Online beta, like, Friday night, I think. I saw the first tweet about that.
Yeah. And the funny part about this is, like, they spend all this time talking about leaked information, and they can't even control their own fucking publishing queue, which was fucking hilarious to me. But anyways, let's talk about the actual bannings themselves, and I'll stop ranting. So in Modern, Early Bloom, Spring Bloom, Summer Bloom, whatever
summer
it's called,
bloom.
Is banned.
Summer
bloom, yeah.
Autumn, winter, and spring bloom is banned.
Yeah.
Which is, that's, without the bloom, that's a fun Korean movie, but beside the point.
That got banned, and Splinter Twin got banned.
Oh, who called it something from Amy the Bloom would get banned up leading up to the Pro Tour? Oh, that was me on the Bad Predictions episode. Oh, it was the most obvious fucking thing they could do.
And there's a couple of layers to this. First of all, like, you know, MTG finance bitch, because, oh, my fake investments, blah, 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 whatever, okay.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about people's investments and formats and shit. If you couldn't see that these cards were problems and were going to get the axe at some point, you weren't paying attention.
Well, the thing here, too, that I'm about to touch on is, folks, Modern is not a stable format. It's not a stable format to throw your money into. I mean, yeah, it's a ton of fun. And yeah, I understand it's WotC still experimenting with trying to bridge the gap between Standard, which is their moneymaker, or Limited and Standard, which is their moneymaker, and Eternal formats, which they have this super awkward fucking relationship with. But Modern has historically been bad to throw money at. I mean, look at all the different bannings. And the reason I honestly think they're doing these bannings like this, and a lot of other people in the community have touched on this as well, is it's not necessarily to, you know, make you upset or to deal with problematic cards. We have a non-rotating format that otherwise is not going to get fresh. And
yeah, you have to ban cards when they become problems in a non-rotating format, because they're not going to just sort themselves out if you wait long enough. And
right.
You just can't print a whole lot of standard legal cards that are powerful enough to change Modern. Generally, when you do that, they're they are too good.
Yeah, so I don't play much modern, but I remember Twin from Standard.
Yeah.
And basically what seemed like it happened was it transitioned cleanly from Standard to Modern.
Yeah.
And that seems way too powerful if something can do that.
In Standard, it was Deceiver, Exarch, and Splinter Twin.
Right.
In Modern, it picked up Pestermite and Kiki-Jiki. So it just had way more redundancy.
Yeah, so 16 cards out of a 60-card deck theoretically could hit your combo. And back that up with Remand and all the powerful counter magic you had.
Yeah, I got to play good blue control spells too, so.
Yeah. Now, the other thing probably to touch on here is, if you actually, like, look at how WotC tends to try to, like, print around problematic cards, it never pans out. Like, the earliest example I can think of from my own personal playing is the Revelark Blink deck that was in Standard during Lorwyn, okay? They tried to print tons of graveyard hate for this ship because they figured it was going to be coming around. They tried to, you know, have stuff like Tormod's Crypt and things like that in the same Standard rotation when that deck became a thing. None of it fucking worked. Okay? None of it actually worked. When Fairies came around as well, they printed so much raw hate for that fucking deck.
They tried to put, like, every safety valve imaginable, and it didn't fucking matter. Because if the deck got Bitter Blossom on turn two, it was gonna win the game.
Well, even better than that,
how it worked out.
The card everybody was gonna call, you know, the Fairies Killer or whatever was Great Sable Stag. Mm-hmm. All right, I played against Great Sable Stag as a Fairies player. You know what I did? I thought seized it away on turn one and didn't give a single fuck.
Yeah.
So if you try to print answers to problematic decks in the format, it's never necessarily going to work because WotC doesn't have an R&D team big enough or a data pool big enough to deal with this kind of shit. They can get a kind of sort of facsimile of what's going to happen, but when you actually release it into the wild, players are ingenious and we can work hundreds of man hours more than R&D ever could. All right, so we're going to break the format. We're going to take cards and do shit with them that we shouldn't have done. And especially when you have cards like Splinter Twin and Kiki Jiki and Pestermite and Deceiver Exarch and all this shit, and you smash them all together in a format, something's got to give or those decks are eventually going to overrun everything. And Jeff, I think you were the one that touched on the fact that Splinter Twin could win on like turn 3.5, turn 4 reliably most of the time.
Yeah, it's the fact that it could win on turn 4, but it was sort of casting the first half of the combo at the end of your turn 3. So you really had to have your shields up from turn 3 on. And, like, the fact that, like, Exarch or Pestermite would tap down one of your lands, which sort of limited the cost of a spell that you could interact with. So it made it kind of functionally a turn 3.5 deck. There was also the fact that just, like, once you got, like, if you just sat there with your shields up, they would just kind of play a control game, and if you slipped up just a little bit ever, they'd nail you with the combo.
Yeah. And see, like, I don't care who you are, that is a problem from a PR perspective for Wizards of the Coast.
Well, it oppressed things that would normally fight control. Like, you couldn't play a long game card advantage sort of strategy against them, because you just had to be ready to interact at any given point in the game. Like, there was no breathing room. There was no opportunity to tap out after turn 3. Like, you had to, you know, either wait and get them, or just be faster, or, like, there was no card advantage as a strategy in Modern. Like, the closest thing was, like, the Lantern deck, but that's even sort of a weird combo in and of itself.
That sounds ridiculously unfun.
Yeah, like, it's a format where, like, it took something as stupid as Treasure Cruise to be a card advantage deck in that format, and then after that got banned, just nothing else that drew cards was playable. Except for, like, there was still some one mana draw a card, you know, cantrips and shit, but there wasn't a real control deck. The closest thing were Tron decks, and those are big mana decks, not control decks. Like, it wasn't even blue-white Tron anymore that played Wrath. It shifted almost entirely to red-green Tron.
So because, like, you had to be willing to deal with those cards early on.
Yeah, like, there was a whole, like, third of what should be your sort of metagame distribution that just wasn't represented. There was no real control deck. It was just combo control, combo, linear aggro, the fast mana decks, you know, the Grizzlebrand stuff was also fast combos. Like, that's all it was. And it was just so warped around itself. There was, like, the illusion of diversity because there were some different fast combos and fast and linear aggros, But ultimately it was just came down to that. And like even the decks that were Grixis control, most of them played Twin. And also they weren't control in the traditional sense. They still weren't playing like card draw. Like, that just wasn't really what they were about.
And see, this kind of brings me into what I was going to say originally. It's Twin and Bloom were really bad PR for Wizards because A, first of all, you had formats warping to accommodate these decks. That is never a sign of, go ahead.
Yeah, Modern just didn't look like Magic. Like that's what it came down to me.
Yeah, when you have an entire format that has to accommodate certain deck archetypes or anything or things like that, you don't have a healthy format. You have the deck and then everybody fighting the deck, okay?
Mm-hmm. And in this case, I think it took them a while to figure out because it wasn't a particular deck. It was distributed a bit, but I think Twin was a big part of the problem. Because I think all the fast combo and linear aggro, like Infect and Infinity stuff, were all just trying to get under Twin. Like Twin was the stop sign. You had to either get under Twin or do something bigger to fight it. You couldn't fight it on any kind of remotely fair terms.
Right, you have to have a certain win percentage against that essentially, or it's not even worth playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. And the thing to drive home on this as well is, you know, I want you to think about all the coverage that Wizards does for Modern when the Pro Tour is going on. All the different people talking about this shit on Twitter. All the different kind of social media shit you have going on simultaneously. The moment Bloom or Twin came on camera, people almost could call the match. That is not good advertisement for a format that you are trying to market to players actively. And so, I honestly, even though I feel like Twin and Bloom were bad for the format overall, that's really what I think we saw here, especially since Wizards has indirectly kind of stated that they're trying to be much more active about marketing and PR and shit like that as well. Mm. They want the format to look attractive for people to dump their money into, especially, and they want to be able to move stuff like Modern Masters when they release it. They want people to dump money at their LGS and make this format a thing. And for that to happen, you have to get rid of things that are problematic before turn four, or things that don't allow breathing room. You still want people to interact and play the format, okay? At least give some semblance of enjoying themselves. Otherwise, you know, what's the fucking point? I mean, even for me, I actually have Modern decks built, like, ready to go out the door, but every time I think about it, I'm like, yeah, every time I think about it, I'm just like, okay, so it's gonna be Tron, Twin, or Bloom. What the fuck am I doing? And I don't care who you are, Bloom was boring as fuck to watch on camera.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of mechanically complicated combo that was fast, but it's not satisfying to watch.
I think that's another thing you're hitting on camera. As the esports scene grows, they have to be on camera friendly. And it's just
and
not.
We talked last week about how Wizards has visibility bias. But it was just like, in terms of that, like, Amulet Bloom was big, like, a bunch of these decks were big at GP Charlotte. I was really surprised that there wasn't a banning in July with Origins. I thought Amulet Bloom could have gone then. Twin probably could have. Like, they could have maybe let it go till fall, but, like, I think part of the reason people are so upset now is that they let these things linger too long. Like, they were allowed to exist in the format so long that people sort of normalized to them existing, and the way they were warping Modern just became what people thought the Modern format was supposed to be, when it really isn't. Part of the purpose of Modern is to be, it's not for new players, but it's a retention agent for players who have been in the game for 2 or 3 years, whose cards are rotating. Basically, if they're not gonna do sort of the rotation treadmill thing and just play standard, they want players to have a format they can go to and play those cards, at least the good cards that they enjoyed playing in standard. And that just was not remotely possible the way Modern was trending. So they let fast combo and Twin, which had been good since Twin was good before Pod got banned. It was good. It was still around when Treasure Cruise was going on. It got eclipsed by Blue Red Delver, which was, I think, just a better deck for a while. But once Treasure Cruise and Pod were gone, it was again the de facto best deck. It was the only reason it didn't stand out as being the most popular deck in the format is that there were every variant of it. Like, you could play straight blue-red, you could play Grixis, you could play Teemer, you could play Jeskai. Like, you could literally, like, splash any color or just play straight blue-red. And when you added those up, they were generally 20 to 25% of the metagame. Even if, like, straight blue-red was only, like, 9 or 10%.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fucking ridiculous when you actually sit back and think about the statistics, statistics of representation that were going on with the format. I swear I talk like a normal person every now and then. So speaking of bishing, do we have anything else we want to say on the modern part of things before I rip into Commander Jeff?
I'll say they probably should have banned Goryeo's Vengeance too. That's another fast combo that I think is just gonna... It was getting popular already as a fast combo, but I think it's going to be even more so now. So if you're preparing for Modern, have some graveyard hate for that. I think the people who are just saying that, like, the decks that were good that weren't Twin are going to become the best decks are dead fucking wrong. Like, I think it's an oversimplification to say that those decks just immediately get better. Because without... Twin was just such a... like I said, a stop sign, such an oppressive force on the metagame that there's a ton of decks that just couldn't exist with it around. Once you get real control decks in a format, that can, you know, play sort of real control cards, you get a lot more, you know, good interaction to deal with infect creatures. You know, when it's not just a race format, like when you're not just racing, you know, to kill the fastest and people are, you know, playing paths and lightning bolts and shit all over the place like they ought to. Infect's gonna have a hard time when people have to play fair magic. I'm not entirely sure that's gonna be the case right away, because again, there's still the Grishol brand, Goryeo's Vengeance deck, and Tron and Eldrazi are still pretty fast at doing stupid, stupid things. So those decks might still be an issue, but I think just narrowing the scope of what you have to prepare for a little bit and taking out the fact that Twin could just kill you at any time, while dicking around and remanding and mana leaking and beating for two with Snapcaster Mage. There's just a lot more room to breathe. You can focus your answers better. You can build a balanced sideboard that, you know, can deal with the big mana decks and attack the infect and still have like, you know, Ancient Grudge or Creeping Corrosion or something for affinity. Like, you can legitimately cover a good chunk of the format. Not all of it, but you can stand a reasonable chance. And that's part of the problem.
That's always been the goal, though, right? Yeah. You never want to have the whole format covered, but you just want to be able to play. You want to have a reasonable chance against decks.
Yeah, but it had clearly gotten to a point where there were too many things to target that you couldn't be prepared to interact with them with enough things. You had to just try to be the fastest at whatever you're doing. That was basically the only option in the format.
All right, so if we're good there, I'm going to go ahead and get started in this response to the commander adjustments. So as to coincide with the WotC banner restricted updates, pretty much every time they occur, MTGCommander.net decided to update their official banned and restricted commander list. The only thing that they really changed that anybody should care about, you know, they altered the partial Paris Mulligan rule. They decided to alter the mana generation rule, both of which are pretty cool, but most people were completely unaware of those rulings anyways. Prophet of Krufix is banned.
Makes sense.
And people are actually fucking upset about this. Which,
really?
That
card's dumb.
Yeah, here's the thing people don't understand about Prophet of Krufix. And this goes with any kind of banning you're ever going to see in Commander. When the choice comes between banning 1 to 2 cards and banning like 3 or 4 cards, Sheldon Mennery and everybody on the Commander Committee are always going to go with a smaller pool of cards because they want the BNR list to be as small and neat as possible.
Yeah.
Because they do want Commander to look like this format where you can fucking do anything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it was either ban a Seedborn Muse effect, which people use to do stupid, ridiculous shit with Gaea's Cradle and Cabal Coffers and all this other shit that everybody plays, or ban all
those blue spells. Like, honestly, just blue instants are dumb with those effects.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing people forget, is I can flash in on your turn, untap my shit, and do stupid stuff. And then it's like, I actually have a turn every single turn, so it really doesn't make a fuck what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Profit Corrifics got banned, to be completely honest. It had nothing to do with the fact that Profit was hard to play against. It had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, it was overpowered. It was ban Profit or ban mana degenerative effects. And if they had banned Cradle and all this other stupid shit, that would have been a hell of a lot worse. People would have bitched exponentially more.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the thing about that, like, Seaborn Muse was a card that for a long time I called actually the best creature in Commander.
It was the best creature. It was the best creature in Commander.
And probably the second best card overall, second only, like, time stretch. Because, you know, just because two turns, you can, if you don't win in two turns, you're doing it wrong. You fucked up. And wasted everyone's time to boot. But it had gotten to a point where I actually, in most of my green decks, had stopped playing Seaborn Muse because it was too popular of a bribery target. Like, every blue deck would target the green player because they wanted their Seaborn Muse. Like, this was before Profit was printed. That's how, like, it was a liability to be playing Seaborn Muse unless you could really abuse the shit out of it in your mono green deck.
But see, that's kind of the sin of being the green player, right? Is you know you're going to be the bribery target no matter what the fuck happens. Because they're, you know, they wanted Primeval Titan back in the day. And then they wanted your Seedborn Muse. Or they just want your big, dumb, whatever the hell it is that generates like a million tokens.
It was always the Seedborn Muse.
I don't know. I've seen Avenger of Zendikar do some work for blue players. Yeah, that was interesting. That's always been interesting. But yeah, so that's kind of what we're looking at here. And like anybody that says, oh, it's not any worse than Seedborn Muse or anything like that, the moment you put Flash on something, yes, it becomes worse than blah, blah, blah analog. Okay, I don't care who you are. Seedborn Muse could go in, untap your shit, allow you to do stupid shit, and then still have time to block and bounce in and out of play. So yes, it was worse than Seedborn Muse.
That's the other thing. Like, Vedalken Orrery was a perfectly playable card in Commander already. You know, so slapping that onto your Seedborn Muse was just dumb. It was gross.
Yeah. And see, like, here's the funny thing about this. People are like, well, I only played it fairly. Fuck you. Nobody plays cards in Commander fairly. Like,
no.
I don't even want to fucking hear that.
If you're playing Profit in Seedborn Muse fairly, you're doing it wrong.
I might.
Yeah.
I know there's no wrong way to have fun, but if you're doing fair things with those cards, you're doing it wrong.
What were you going to say, Bill?
I said, yeah, I mind spring for two, just because I do it fairly. With no Reliquary Tower on the board, I keep a 7-card hand, just play the game fairly.
Yeah, I'm going to Necropotence and just go up to 7 cards.
Correct, every
I'm gonna
time.
I'm going to be reasonable about it. No, it's like chems in fucking Fallout. You either do no chems, or you do all the chems!
Oh yeah, you can't just be like,
all the fucking
I'm
drugs.
Just going to psycho on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Fuck that way.
You know, I'm gonna manage this. No, I'm gonna get the perk that makes me immune to fucking addiction and go to fucking town.
Exactly.
But see, like, that's exactly the thing too, because people are like, oh, I used it fairly. Look, the only fucking deck in the entire format that is fair is mono white aggro, and they have Stoneforge, Mystic, and Sword. Shut the fuck up and sit down.
Well, red decks are fair because they just kinda have
to. I mean, really, except for all their land destruction that they have, Jeff. Like, endless land destruction.
Well, no, that's totally fair, because then you get kicked out of the game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You blow everyone's lands up. If you don't win immediately, you don't play in the next game.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're just the first one to die.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Yep. Mono Red Duretti with Back to Basics, Ruin, Blood Moon, and all that. Yeah, I played it precisely once before I was told never to bring the deck back. But anyways, I think we've exhausted the topic of bannings. So, let's move on to something probably a little bit more involving. Bill.
Yes.
You are what is known to, most mortal men as a god among men, an Adonis, sweating as you lift the ore from the ashes of the world. Tell us about powerlifting. Tell us about weightlifting.
Well, I don't get into the powerlifting much. I'm still, believe it or not, as gamers go, I'm probably in like the top 5th percentile, but in general, I'm still building a foundation, so I wouldn't go quite that far. But yeah, it's been a hobby of mine for the past year, and it's awesome.
Okay, why is weightlifting good? Just explain to these basic nerds out there who are listening why we should get involved with weightlifting, why we should get off our collective asses.
So you lose weight, which everybody's always bitching about doing. That's just like the basic bitch reason. I want to lose weight. Weightlifting will lose you a lot of weight. the reason that all, like, the communities we hang out in, how many people are constantly bitching about how depressed they are and their anxiety and shit like that? And I constantly tell them, guys, go lift weights, go hit the gym, and that shit won't disappear, but it will largely be reduced. And they're like, oh no, that'll never work, that'll never work. And it just does. It does so much. Cause it just floods your body with good shit. And it's helped me immensely.
Yeah, and see, that's something to touch on here as well. Look, even if you folks don't actually want to go through the process of weightlifting, read up on the science of physical activity, because once you start doing that, you're going to realize that this shit actually works for you. Because if you start lifting weights, first of all, yeah, you're going to get stronger. Yeah, things are going to hurt because of lactic acid. I've touched on that previously. And yeah, you know, you might actually have a goal that helps you get over anxiety and depression and, you know, your weight and shit like that. But there's tons of things that happen to you when you lift weights that are actually beneficial to your body. If you're a guy, you're going to get flooded with testosterone, so you're going to feel like fucking Hercules for a half hour.
Yep.
Okay? So there's that. There's also endorphins, because even though it might hurt when you're lifting weights, when you're cooling down, your body's going to get flooded, you're going to feel good, you're going to be able to sleep at night. Back when I lifted weights for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours every day when I was a teenager, I didn't have insomnia like I do now, and I've talked about that on this cast a lot. I sleep 4 fucking hours a day if I'm lucky, which is completely unhealthy. But if you lift weights, if you do some kind of physical activity every day, you're going to be able to sleep better. And just in general, physical activity, even if it's starting off small, look, I was in good shape at one point. I'm a lard ass now, okay? But I've started lifting weights again. I'm just starting out with, you know, little 25-pound barbells and bench presses and shit like that. It gives you something to focus on. It makes you, it actually works your body. And, you know, hey, the long-term benefit is you're going to live longer. Even though life can be miserable, living longer is always a good thing.
Well, it's a stigma in our community too. Like the gamer community is, and it's part of its rightful, is so out of shape in general. Like, well, how much, the dude that did the butt crack thing, how many people in those pictures did you see that looked of a normal, like, healthy weight and body type?
Right, and
almost
well, we're not trying to, yeah.
No, we're not, but folks, it's a problem in our community is just because I don't think people view it as important. They're like, oh, I'm a gamer. I don't need to be fit. My hobby is.
And see, something else to kind of touch on here is, if you're a gamer, regardless of whether you're doing like video games or Magic or Hearthstone or whatever, you're doing something that's very sedentary. Okay,
right.
You sit around a lot. I work on computers from, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. I'm on my ass a lot. I come home, I get on computers again, I'm on my ass even more. That is not how your body's meant to be. You're meant to be at least mildly active, up, walking around, doing something every single day. Because as you engage in these sedentary activities, you know, it's not just fat you have to worry about. It's all the other stuff under the hood that's going to affect your general health that can lead to serious fucking problems. And, you know, I'm actually trying to get off nicotine, but we have a lot of people who are smokers and other things like that as well. And it's when you combine all of this shit, the sedentary activities, the unhealthy eating that happens with gaming gatherings, because, hey, who doesn't like to bring a case of beer
too.
To Commander? Yeah, like, who doesn't like the case of beer at Commander Night and pizza?
Draft
but
and
it's
draft.
All this other exactly, yep. Yeah. Oh, dude, some of my favorite memories with Commander involve, you know, 3 a.m., we're all already out of our fucking mind, because it's 3 a.m., we're all drunk, and then we start philosophizing, oh god, I swear.
Philosophizing?
I
don't even know, dude, that word.
I need to sit down and actually just, like, work on my pronunciations, but, you know, sitting around and doing nothing at 3 in the morning playing Commander drunk with people. But it's all this shit combined that's gonna gradually wear you down. And, as I was saying earlier, like, just over the last year, because, you know, or over the last couple of years, I guess I should say, god, time fucking flies. I've gotten married, I don't move around as much, you know, about the most activity I used to get is when I was outside with Riley and she was running around 100 miles an hour, and I was kinda standing there making sure she didn't kill herself. It's all this stuff that builds into you engaging in this lifestyle that's really going to hamper you down the road. I mean, heart disease is a serious fucking thing in America. Lung disease is a serious fucking thing in America. Couple that with the, you know, the quote unquote community expectations on you as a gamer, and you're going to hurt not only yourself, but your self-image as well. So, Bill, if people wanted to do something about, you know, their body, how they look, how they feel. What are some just general beginner tips that you would give them?
The biggest beginner tip is no matter what you're going to do, if you just want to walk a mile every day, the biggest beginner tip is make it a habit. Force yourself to do it because, I mean, I'm sure there's science behind this, but what is it? Like, you have to do something for 30 days for it to become an ingrained habit. So what people do is they're like, I'm going to get healthy on January 1st. That's my resolution. And then they go, they walk, they hit the treadmill, they hit the weight room for a week. Then they're not feeling it the next day. They're like, I'm just going to skip today. Well, that's the death of their whole thing right there. You have to make it. You have to force yourself to go in the beginning. And no matter what you're doing, you have to force it until it becomes a habit, until it becomes something you look forward to and it's part of your routine. And after that, it's easy and it kind of just cumulatively stacks upon itself at that point.
And I would say definitely get some tunes that are worth listening to.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Yeah, cause like, I mean, let's face it, the personal reason I think a lot of people don't get into like physical activity, it's boring as shit sometimes. Like, let's just be completely honest. How many times can you do this rep? How many times can you do these preacher curls? I mean, yeah, it's cool when you put more weight on there or when you walk that extra mile every day, but it's completely monotonous unless you've got something to occupy your mind, unless you've got something to think about. I mean, I'm extra fucking nerdy. I used to take my Kindle on the treadmill and read that while I was running.
Dude, okay? I play Hearthstone while I play. Every time.
Yeah, see, precisely. There's different ways you can do this shit that makes it not only entertaining, but makes it where you actually, you know, you don't notice how long you spend doing it. And a good soundtrack, a podcast, you know, something in
not
front of you.
Not another Magic podcast.
Yeah, not another Magic podcast, maybe. But
yeah, we're probably not regular enough for that to really work, but, yeah.
But hey, the spirit is there. The spirit is there, Jeff. That's what matters. Something to occupy your mind. And, you know, do variety. Do, like, weightlifting one day. And then on your rest day, do like yoga, go for a walk, you know, run a mile, whatever you want to do. Cause if you don't like spice it up, you're going to get bored with your routine and give up halfway through again.
One thing I tell people that are new at it too is be careful with the phone. Like when you take your phone and you're sitting on a machine doing a workout, there's a tendency to get so into that, that what you're doing is just completely blown off. I mean, and that's fine once you're into it. Like between my sets when I'm resting, I check Twitter, I check Facebook, but never while I'm actively doing something do I touch my phone. Not even to like adjust music. And I see people in the gym just like so on their phone, and you're watching them do leg extensions while they're tweeting. You're like, you're not getting anything done. You're accomplishing nothing.
That could be potentially dangerous as well.
Yeah. Like, oh, way dangerous.
Definitely, like, keep yourself occupied, but don't, like, stay so occupied you might drop that barbell on yourself or something, or even your phone. And the other thing probably we should touch on as well is know your limits, okay?
Yes.
And be aware of those and know that you can work past those in time. Because, look, there's absolutely nothing wrong with starting off small and just kind of building up over a series of months. And especially like right now, I'm not looking for results on my body. I am a barrel-chested, fat, hairy bear, and I'm okay with that. But I just want to feel stronger. I want to feel better. And that really overall should kind of, in my personal opinion at least, like be the overall goal of any kind of physical fitness you do. Feel better. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about that kind of shit. Just aim for stuff that makes you feel better, where your knees don't hurt so much and your back doesn't hurt so much.
Well, yeah, there's different types of fitness too. You could want to be shredded, have low body fat. You could want to be stronger, which is what you're doing. And they're all more fit than not doing any of it. Every single one of them.
Now, as far as dieting goes, Bill, let's say, you know, you have somebody, they like a beer every now and then. They like a cigar every now and then. What should they personally watch out for in like their daily routines and dieting that is really important? Because man, you always have like some awesome looking fish or chicken or some shit on your Twitter, and I get mad envious.
So the biggest thing with that, and the biggest thing I tell everybody, especially when they're starting out, is just don't drink your sugars. That is what puts cotton candy on your body. Drinking your sugars, pop, drinking a lot of sugar in your coffee, drinking alcohols that are like mixed drinks. Like if you're gonna drink whiskey straight, you know. Like, you gotta watch the carbs you're drinking. Drinking carbs is the worst. I mean.
So.
Carbs in general, you wanna cut down, but drinking them is 10 times worse than eating them. At least in my results it has been.
Right, and see, that also leads us into one more thing here, and we'll move on to something else here in a minute, folks, but this is important. This is important to me, and this is important to you, the listeners, as well. Oh gosh, where was I going with this? I had a thought, and then it escaped me, it ran out the fucking window. okay, so, yeah, moderation is very important in anything you do. So, if you definitely want to notice, like, a lot more results immediately, just watch what you're eating, folks. Eat healthier if you can. Or if you're going to drink a beer, don't drink the whole fucking case to prove you can do it. Just have one. Just have two. Be responsible. Be an adult. Because no matter what your philosophical beliefs are, folks, you got one fucking body. You need to take care of it. Because, you know, okay, nobody wants to live forever. I get that. But do you really want those last 5 years of your life to be in a wheelchair pissing on yourself? I don't think anybody does.
No, absolutely not. And it's what I tell people. You have one body and one mind, and you got to take care of both of them. Like, get out there and read, and then go lift weights, you know? Take care of everything. Because if you're not, you're not a complete person.
Yeah. And I mean, if anybody wants a good example, look at fucking Jack LaLanne, who I think is dead now. I'm not actually sure. Jack LaLanne was a fitness instructor in the 40s, swam every day, did cardio and aerobic exercises. The dude lived to be 98 and just, like, dropped over dead. You know, just fucking passed out one day in his bed, dead.
Enjoyed his last days, dead.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, like, I would rather be capable enough in my older years to, you know, be able to chase my grandkids, be able to chase my great... Oh, God, I don't even want to fucking say that just yet.
Dude, holy shit. Wipe your own ass.
To wipe my own ass.
You want to be able to wipe your own ass, not have somebody doing it for you.
Yeah. So, folks, anyways, we're going to end our health segment here, but definitely take it to heart. Bill is a great source of personal advice and personal reassurance when it comes to doing physical fitness. I highly recommend reaching him out on Twitter. And Bill, we're going to talk about this later, but do you mind throwing your handle out there right quick?
It is at TZERIEL. Back to being simple. No more prefixes on that.
So I have to ask one question. Is that in reference to the Batman character?
No. Okay, so here's the story of my Twitter handle. Wizards did the D&D campaigns. You remember when they did the D&D campaigns on Twitter where they would give bonuses like every hour? They had the weekly D&D encounters. I was playing in a local game store. I was playing that every week, and my character was a tiefling sorcerer named Zeriel. And so I created my account to check these benefits out, and I just picked the name I was, the character I was playing. That's all there is behind it. Yeah. That simple.
I always thought it was fucking Batman, and that whole character for some reason. Oh, God, D&D. Good memories. Yeah. Jeff, have you ever played D&D?
Shit, yeah.
D&D's who was your favorite character?
I made a half-orc druid who died and was reincarnated as a gnome.
Jack, you'll like my favorite character of all time? It was a minotaur monk that, for religious reasons, was naked at all times. And to keep this,
we've all had one of those.
Right, there's a long story behind it, but the end result of the story is I killed a gnome cleric by turning too fast and killing him with my swinging dick. Because the DM treated my dick as a 2d8 blunt weapon. And I critted
only in
naturally.
D&D, folks.
Only in D&D.
Only in D&D.
If you want to get into some really ridiculous shit, play some Exalted.
I've not played that one, though I want to.
I've played World of Darkness. Have I told the World of Darkness story on here, Jeff?
No, probably.
Okay, so we'll skip over that one. But my favorite D&D character of all time was we sat down, and, like, the problem with D&D is you always have people, like, trying to be this anime character or trying to be this superhero character or, like, trying to fill out some cliche of the class that they picked. So I decided to go, like, completely the opposite fucking direction, and I played a 60-year-old bard named Abadias Craddock, who was an alcoholic and just completely out of his fucking gourd. But the fun part about him was he had lived so long that he had just seen and done shit that other people in the party hadn't seen and done. Like, he, during one of our campaigns, we encountered some weird barbarian tribe in the mountains, and I passed I think it was a diplomacy check, and it turns out Abadias could speak their language, you know? He had encountered them before. And then come to find out later, the DM rigged it where he had kids and family in this barbarian tribe. So lots of good, funny memories from playing Abadias. But, gentlemen, I think the last thing we probably want to end out here with is, how's your Fallout 4 playthrough going?
Lazy for me. I haven't played a whole lot since right before New Year's. I've just been busy with the house and other games, and I have to say, and I'm going to get flack for this, Fallout 4 is a great game, but I think it lacks the charm of 3 and New Vegas, and so it's kind of not grabbing me and holding me for huge amounts of time. I think it's a better game, but it's not, it lacks that charm that those two had.
Well, I will agree with you as far as like the New Vegas example, because there was so much more going on with the different like factions in that game. You know, not even like the main groups like Mr. House and NCR and like Caesar's Legion and shit like that. But like the Great Khans had a whole side quest that you could go into. You don't have that kind of shit in Fallout 4. Like you have cool, interesting little shit you can get into, like Coven and things like that, but nothing that quite has the breadth of the stuff you could get into in New Vegas. And especially when you get into the expansions like Old World Blues and all that shit, there was just a tremendous amount more you could do.
That's the other thing. Fallout 4 hasn't had any DLC yet. And you know there's
it's a good game. But it's just not grabbed me like the other ones have. Mm.
See, for me, I had a hard time. I only picked up Fallout New Vegas or started playing it like in the fall, because I was getting that Fallout 4 hype, and, you know, knew I wasn't going to be able to get it right away. So I was like, well, I need to get a fix, let's play some New Vegas, and just had a hard time transitioning to that, having played a shitload of Skyrim, and we spent most of a fucking episode talking about it, but Fallout 4, like, it's like, okay, yeah, this makes sense, like, the crafting system's way better, I find it oddly, like, satisfying to just go around my settlement just cleaning shit up.
Oh yeah, it's
just scrap this, scrap that, scrap the other thing.
Yeah,
scrap your car, scrap your house, scrap your.
I think one thing that's bugging me that I can't do there that I could do in Skyrim and the other Fallouts, I can't be a bad guy.
Like no matter how really can't.
Yeah, no matter how bad I am, people are just kind of like, I accept you. You're our hero, even though you're kind of a dick.
And see, like that's something that really gets me about Fallout 4 too. It's like I don't know if either one of you played 1 or 2, Jeff. I think you did. But, you know, if you were an asshole in 1 and 2, that went places. Like, word got out that you did nefarious shit to people. Like, one of the things I really specifically remember about playing 2 is I was not only the boxing champ, which was one of the side quests you could do, but I was a porn star. Yeah, I beat Mike Tyson, and I did the porn star quest that was available as well.
Yes.
So I was just known all over fucking New Reno one way or another, you know. And then, like, I went to some other town, I'm not sure which one it was, but they were like, oh, hey, you know, I caught your fucking match, that was great. Don't beat me to a bloody fucking pulp, you know, like.
Yep.
And that doesn't translate so well in Fallout 4 at all. Like, I mean, you know, there's things you can do.
I don't know, it's like the hubris comic stuff is pretty cool.
No, like there's I think the point is there's some stuff, just no, like Jack's saying, you could actually ruin your playthrough of Fallout 2 2 hours into the game and you'd have no clue until you were, you know, you killed an NPC you needed. Sorry.
Yeah. And see, like, I don't know if it's, hey, let's have less communication in the wasteland is showing all these different factions are working against each other. But there's this very artificial thing where, you know, you can go off and do some pretty terrible shit in Fallout 4. But then you know Preston Garvey's going to have a job for you when you get back. And secondly, fuck Preston Garvey. He annoys the piss out of me.
Fuck that guy.
But I do want to talk about one thing here that really fucked with me. And I don't know if either one of you have gotten this far yet, but I want to talk about it. So I'm going to go ahead and preface this with spoiler, 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 spoilers.
I have not gotten that far. So.
Okay.
Yeah, neither. But so, I'm not worried about spoilers.
Okay, well. So. Okay, well, I'll give the generalized viewpoint of it. Basically, like, you do come across the Institute in your playthrough no matter what, alright? And... Oh, fuck! My heart! Oh, Jesus, that hurt.
Yeah, those are tough moments.
Yeah, but stuff anyways, like folks, go enjoy Fallout. We've been going on for about an hour and a half here. Do we have anything else we want to say, guys?
I just want to say, positive stuff, like, I got... Bill, you probably don't know this. I've been playing as David Price, who signed, you know, a 7-year contract with the Red Sox.
Right.
That got panned for being, like, too long and too much money.
I generally know who he is, yes.
So I just, through the railroad, got myself ballistic weave. So I've got a baseball uniform that's got, like, 90 armor. And I've got a bunch of fucking baseball grenades. And I've got the Rockville Slugger all modded up. I'm ready to go play ball.
There you go, dude.
Yeah.
I'm playing as Bruce Wayne. That's who my character
nice.
Is.
Nice.
Yeah. And he wears a tuxedo and an admiral's hat at all times. It's required wearing for him.
It's funny because for me, like, I don't know what it was, but I didn't get access to fucking decent armor until halfway through the game. Like, you know, power armor's all over the fucking place, like, just flowers yeah. littered through the wasteland. But, like, I started going through, and I'm really bad about role-playing in games like Skyrim and Fallout when it comes to shit like this, just because for me, it makes the gameplay better, okay? So I got my face tattooed, you know, my hair is blown back, I'm covered in dirt and everything. And then I found decent armor, so now I no longer look like a fucking dirty cowboy, which is nice. So yay.
Yeah, that kind of bugged me. The power armor being everywhere as a longtime Fallout fan. Dude, that shit that shit used to be the top, and now it's just like, hey, you have 16 sets rotting in your base. I'm like, what's this?
Yeah,
he's got this bullshit Raiders crap. It doesn't even worth it.
Yeah, I'm like, this one has dicks drawn on it. I'm not wearing that one today.
Where's that paint job, man? The big old dick fucking paint job.
You have to go to Jackson.
Somebody said that they're just imagining Guy Ferrari going around as a ghoul in the wasteland with like flames on his power armor.
Dude, but, I would recruit him as a follower instantly.
I do like that. Well, yeah. I mean, he's gotta provide cook up food for you. I mean, there's a lot of comedic opportunities there for Gulfieri, like unlocking new foods you can make that just have ridiculous names.
Dude, I'm all about Gulfieri.
shit, now that might be a character I have to make.
Yeah.
Does all the cooking.
I'm going on the notion you guys have seen all the different, like, celebrities and shit, like Bob Ross and John Cena that got made into the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have not encountered many of those.
Look up Fallout 4 famous characters made. There's a complete list on GameFAQs where you can play everybody from Barack Obama to Beavis and Butthead. So there you go. that is my parting gift on this podcast. So folks, we're gonna go ahead and end it out. Bill, you've been in a...
No, folks, shut up. One more thing. Have you guys gone to the General Atomics Gallery?
Yes.
That is fantastic. Yeah, it's kind of northern part of the map. Northern middle part. Is it the General Atomics Galleria, where there's a bunch of sort of Mr. Handys that are running what are supposed to be these exhibits, you know, of how, you know, this fully automated robot workforce. And they fuck up in some beautiful ways if you don't, do some shit first. Most of which involve them becoming aggressive. So when you get there, piece of advice, save, fuck with them all. And then go back and then do it, sort of fix it up properly. But definitely have fun fucking with them, because there's a little cafe you can go into, and they like offer you a table, and they're like, you know, we're mostly full, but we've got one left. And they're like, the dead bodies everywhere? They're like, yeah. You want to have a seat?
And no, then they... it's Radio Shack the town.
Yeah, basically. So when I play Fallout, I have to wonder. I know it's a wasteland, but it's been a couple of hundred years. Can we clean some of the shit up?
Nope.
Like where people were actively living, there's just still stuff from 200 years ago laying on the ground. I'm pretty lazy when it comes to cleaning, but that's rough.
I mean, hey, if I had a workbench with an infinite radius, I would clean up the fucking Commonwealth.
Right?
I would.
Get rid of everything.
There's already a mod.
Scrap.
Yep.
Scrap all that shit.
Jack, I am frightened to see the things you've modded in that game. Frightened and excited.
Well, what's interesting is, despite the creation kit not being dropped yet, there's still tons of mods out there for Fallout 4 on the PC. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying I've checked out Better Bodies mod or the Breast Physics mod, but they exist, and they don't titties. Work. They don't work as well as advertised, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Oh, shit. Okay, I have to touch on this, because this is fucking funny. So, there's this one mod in particular called Better Bodies that I download pretty much any time I get a Bethesda game. Just because, like, it makes the armor look like it's filled out better. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So, the latest iteration of this... They were like, yeah, you know, thanks to all the shaders and everything, we're actually able to make a more realistic body than we've ever had. And that would be true if it didn't look like the women were smuggling basketballs in their shorts. Like, it, like and you know, gamers, this is another thing we need to touch on here. If we're going to worry about our own body, we need to worry about body perception as well. Because when the breasts in your game exceed what would be safe as a flotation device if an airplane blew up, you might need to look at an actual set of breasts. Just saying. Just saying. Throwing that out there.
Wait, where am I going to look at that?
How do I into nudity? There we go. Bill, where can you be reached?
I can be reached on Twitter, again, at TZERIEL. That's about it for where people can reach me. I'm pretty reclusive.
Same here. Outside of the blog and Twitter, don't add me on Facebook, folks, especially if I don't know you. Just saying. Jeff, where can they reach you?
I am at LowGuppy. The cast is at NotAnotherMTG. Occasionally, you could email us at notanothermagicpodcast@gmail.com.
Big shout out to Professor Elemental, as always, for letting us use his music.
Yes. Done. Which I keep, like, having weird ways to not do, like, but yeah. I think I will drop one on this one.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah. Oh, and Jack, now you can ask, how did you like the end of the last episode? Not the one we just did with Slick, the one before that.
It made me realize how often we actually talk about dicks on this podcast. Like, I didn't know that we talked about dicks that much. Like, cause you know, it's just not something you bring up in a typical conversation with people you have on the podcast. But holy hell, I think we have mentioned dicks at least once every episode, including this one now. There we go. I don't think we talked about dicks last week.
Dicks.
We've talked about dicks today a couple times, have we not?
Yeah.
We talked about dicks in Fallout.
It's 2D8 Minotaur Slong.
Yeah, Minotaur. We talked about dicks on Power Armor. I mean, it's been all kinds of dicks up in here.
Check, top hat got that reality check, hot tracks cop that sandwiches check, gas stove tea bags, parchment treasure map, green got three bags, pull up the anchor, roll with the tide, set sail, set the stage, strolling with pride, ride the high sea, storm in a TC cup, see us on horizon, don't try to keep up, rush like Superman, racing the flash, made a pack break out, make off in a dash, before competition like racing with monks, on a monastery sports day competition is none. Don't be ridiculous, son. We're not looking at you. When we drop it like pigeons to statues, blazed hip hop. Swerve as you listen by the end of this verse. We're a dot in the distance. March us a rhythm, hit a draft on your backpack. Charge when we get up in the El Tomanassack. Held on and came back. Hard off the chain rack. Hard act to follow, man. Can't ever change that. A bubble like a pot of hot stew. I got you made up at home. No time to stop. Phew. Buzz like yellow and black. A hell of a chap. Never inflate where the egos, he said on the track. Clever with rap, more than most folk. Get carried away, I'ma try not to boast, bloke. Ancient carver, make knife sharper. I found that down on the railway track. So I sail way back past days in millions to a primitive form from an age of brilliance. I'm back in the cave where I was living once. Dangerous life this world was giving us. Dog eat dog on a cutthroat island. Heads on spears for less than a diamond. Spades in a hand, they made us mine the land, and what we found was this sacred time map. March us a rhythm, hit a draft on your backpack. Charge when we get up in the El Tomanassack. Held on and came back. Hard off the chain rack. Hard act to follow, man. Can't ever change that.
Everything that I am doing and you want to do, something is there. Clicking. Do this. So you kick tack until what to do. It's not, I don't even have to think it happened. I can make you maybe 10 million songs in a year.
I know something disgusting I could talk about. Did you guys hear about the gator that ate the guy?
No.
Okay, no. So this is fantastic. I was reading about this on Tumblr of all fucking places. So this guy in Florida was running on foot from the cops and managed to go through a stretch of swampland. Okay, now Florida is famous for its fucking gators. They're literally in every part of the tourism
state. That is a shit-ass place to be fleeing on foot.
Yeah.
So, fun fact, Florida actually had a lot of more penal colonies than it had, regular colonies for the exact reason I'm about to get into. So the cops were chasing this guy. They were closing in on him and he started going through the wetlands. A 6 foot, 300 pound gator jumped out of the water, bit the guy in half and dragged him down. killed the guy on the spot. Like, literally bit him in half.
That's
nothing,
so cool.
You know, nothing. Yeah, and the quote from the cops was, well, we were going to stop it, but then we were too shocked to really do anything. Good night, everybody. Done.